Remain standing, please, for prayer.
Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to Thee tonight in our Saviour's precious and worthy name. We thank Thee for the one who has entered into Thy presence with his own blood to appear in Thy presence for his people. We thank Thee for Christ having made atonement for our souls. And we thank Thee tonight He is our risen and exalted and glorified Saviour. We thank Thee tonight for the man at Thy right hand who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Lord, we thank Thee for the purity of our Saviour. We thank Thee for the prayers of our Saviour too, and for His power. We thank Thee that all power has been given unto Him in heaven and in earth. And Lord, we rejoice that because He has that power, He is the one who is building His church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. We thank Thee for the great captain of our salvation. We think of Joshua standing surveying that scene at Jericho, and the Lord coming with His sword drawn. We thank Thee tonight for our glorious and victorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We pray, Lord, tonight as we spend time in Thy house and consider Thy work, that Thou wilt graciously come amongst us in Thy power and by Thy Spirit. And Lord, make this to be a time of rejoicing in what Thou art doing here and there across the world, and a time of tremendous challenge as well. Lord, we do thank Thee for the young people who are here tonight. And Lord, we ask that it might please Thee, even within this company of people, to put Thy hand upon some young person, some young people, and Lord, thrust them forth as laborers into Thy great harvest field. We do ask, Lord, for a sense of Thy presence with us. We do thank Thee for the preaching of Thy word this week already, the times of prayer as well. And we ask, Lord, as we continue this week, that Thou wilt come amongst us in Thy grace and by Thy Spirit. And Lord, Thou wilt meet our every need in these days, we pray. We ask for Thy help for all who will take part in this service. We thank Thee, our Father, for Sister Kathy with us from Kenya. We pray Thou wilt bless her tonight. We thank Thee for safety for her as she's traveled to visit many of our churches. We thank Thee for Jason and Danielle being here also. Lord, bless them tonight also, we pray. So our Father, abide with us and do us good tonight. Strengthen our hand and bless our hearts as we gather here. Lord, show us early Thy mercy, and we pray that Thou wilt establish the work of our hands. Establish it for Thy glory and for Thy name's sake. We pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Turn over just a few pages now to hymn number 31. Hymn number 31, Jesus, the name high over all.
Thank you.
We're going to have the ladies sing for us now.
Thank the ladies for singing for us. The men will be singing a little later in the service too. We welcome you tonight. It's a joy to see all who have gathered with us for our midweek meeting here. Those ministers and elders who have come in for the week of prayer and their families, we give you a very special welcome. We have some other visitors tonight as well, and we welcome you too in the Saviour's precious name. Our service tonight has taken a very distinct missionary flavour. We have our sister Kathy Walker from Kenya, and she has been going around some of our churches in North America in person, others via Skype, and we're glad to have her in Greenville with us this week and to have her along tonight to speak. I'm going to hand over to her in a moment or two. We also have our brother Jason Boyle and his wife Danielle from Mexico City, and we're glad they're with us as well, and he'll be coming to speak as well on the work there in Mexico. Dr. Allison is the chairman of our mission board. He will be giving a report on the various mission fields that we have and also showing a couple of pictures of the houses in Liberia. Many of you have been praying about those and financially supporting that work as well. And we have four or five pictures to show you of some of the, one of the houses that's finished. We'll do that tonight as well. He'll give a report on the work in Jamaica and in Liberia and the other fields that we have too. Mr. Gallagher in Western Canada looks after not only his own church in Cloverdale, he also looks after the work in Prince George and also in Calgary. So I've asked him to come. There are two vacant churches there, Calgary and Prince George, and I wanted him to present that need tonight as well. We might remember that issue in prayer and pray the Lord would raise up men to go and fill these pulpits. There's a vacant pulpit in Fredericton in Canada as well, and we need to pray the Lord will raise up men to go and preach the gospel there. And then towards the end tonight, we have Aaron Dunlop from the work in Victoria, where the outreach initiative is this summer, the first week in July. He's going to come and say something about that and indicate that there's still opportunity for those who'd like to go on that. There's a few weeks left yet before we need to close that deadline. But he'll say something more about what's planned for that week in Victoria. So that's really the plan for tonight, the program that we have. I'm going to ask for Sister Kathy to come and speak, or she's going to stay where you are. All right.
First of all, I would like to just express my gratitude for the very warm welcome that I have received in each place that I have gone. Especially rejoice in the opportunity to be here this week for the week of prayer, and how my heart has already been blessed by our times of prayer together and by the ministry of the Word of God to my own soul. I'm thankful for all of the meals and the transportation that has also been graciously provided for me. As I was coming to the end of my second term in Kenya, as normal, I was seeking again for the will of God concerning my continued service for him. And the words that you see on the screen and from Isaiah 43, verse 6, are the words that he gave me this last year. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. And I thank the Lord for keeping me these past 7 years in the land of Kenya. The beginning of this month marked the end of my seventh year. And as I was considering the words from Isaiah, I was considering the word far, and the dictionary describes it as a considerable distance and to a great extent. And indeed, Kenya is a considerable distance from America. It takes 24 hours to get from Nairobi to Orlando, Florida. But it is not the physical distance that is of such concern to us as we follow the Lord's commission in going into all the world. It is the distance of men and women and boys and girls from Christ and the fact that they are dead in their trespasses and sins. And so it is our responsibility to lead, to carry, to cause them to come along with us to the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them from far. He has told us twice in this passage in Isaiah that we are his witnesses. We have experienced his grace in our own hearts. We have known the truth of his word, and now we can tell others that they can know it for their good. And it is not a religion or a church that we're bringing people to, but it's to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we've even been singing about this night, our fairest Lord Jesus. And he has given us his precious word in order to sow the seed to those that we come in contact with. And we have the assurance that his word is the eternal truth. It is something that we can rely upon. His word shall not pass away. And as I was considering these things, I was thinking of the three different avenues that we can use to sow the seed of the word of God amongst those that we minister to. And the first one is in song. We have a song to be sung to the nations. And on the screen are some of the different areas of music that I've been involved in over these past 7 years. It has been the desire of the Reverend Kendigore that I teach the people some of the new hymns that they can expand their knowledge of these great hymns that we have been given throughout church history. Many times you get to hear our young people singing, but I thought you would like to hear our adults sing, our congregations. What you see on the screen is a recent service from February when all of our churches gathered together at the school for a combined service. Now, they're singing in Swahili, so you won't understand the words, but when you'll recognize the hymn by the tune, at least on the first one.
Thank you.
You see, we have many directors in our churches. I thought I would just kind of give you an explanation of how our churches are divided. We have 22 different congregations in BCFC, and they're divided into three what we call classical sessions, so that the churches in different areas have opportunities to gather together for fellowships. And every so often, they have combined church services. They will combine some of the women's fellowships. And it just makes for more times of fellowship for the people. So our first session is called the Mnege session. This is the area where I live. My house is actually in the first church there area, Bendera. The Reverend Nathaniel Kendigore is the general secretary of all of our churches. He has currently been preaching in Lecce, which includes the academy and the local church that is there at the school as well. Pastor Simeon Assia is in our church in Karinger. Mr. David Chagi is in the church in Bendera. He is one of our Bible college students. Reverend Philip Ongiri is a man that has just come to us this past fall. He had finished his seminary and had been talking with the Reverend Kendigore and expressed his desire to join with us. And he has been assigned to our church in Makatano and has been a real blessing to the people there. Let me back up a minute. You'll notice up at the top of the screen a couple of other names. Mr. Pola Chap is a secondary school teacher. He helps out in our church in Embagat because we do not have a pastor for that church. And Mr. Moses Riono is preaching up in our new little work in Parsinda. And Moses has expressed a desire to join in with the Bible college in this new term. Then we have the Kapunguria session, which is up the mountain from where I live. Mr. Jeremiah Napa is our moderator of the BCFC churches. He preaches in a little work in Spen. Spen is at the top of a mountain. I visited it one time. The Land Cruiser took me so far, and then we had to cross a little river by foot and climb a mountain to get to the church. When we got to the top, the view is absolutely phenomenal, but it took me 15 minutes to catch my breath so that I could sing with the rest of the congregation. But Mr. Napa preaches in that little work every Lord's Day, and do remember him in prayer. Pastor Elias Cosquet is another one of our pastors. He is in our Cioy church. He is also in charge of our weekly evangelism. Every Thursday, a number of our pastors get together and they visit in some of the different areas surrounding our churches to encourage the works and to invite new people in to the church and to visit those maybe that haven't been there for a while. And then also during school breaks, our youth also get involved in evangelism. Pastor Simon Omoyo is in our Keringet church. He's one of our newlywed couples. Pastor Emmanuel Lelimo is in our church in Ortum, which is about an hour north of where I am. Mr. David Kanuthia is in Talao, and he is another student in our Bible college. And then our third classical session is Katali, and the Reverend Elijah Paraiwa is overseeing those churches there, mostly in the work in Katali. He took that over. He actually lives in the Kapunguria area, but he took over oversight of those areas when the Reverend Ian Harris went back to Northern Ireland to serve the Lord there. Pastor Andrew Chepto is in Moisbridge. He has finished his studies in our Bible college, but he has not actually gone through graduation yet because we are waiting for the other two to finish up their classes, and then we will graduate all three of them together. But he is continuing his studies online. And then at the bottom of the screen, you'll see Mr. Stephen Macharia and Mr. Joseph Methu. These men also preach in our churches, and they also work in our Katali bookshop. Mr. Peter Osundwa is in the Nyapura church, which is about a half hour away from where Jillian lives in Kakamega. And Shadrach Samiyu is in our Bikeki church. And the reason I am showing these men to you is to ask that you would pray for our pastors. A lot of our works are small, even like our works here in North America, and they often can be discouraged in the work. And we ask that you would just pray for them, that they would be encouraged by the Lord, and that they would have a real zeal for the ministry. And then this week is the opening of our Bible college, and we would ask that you would pray for the studies as they continue, and that the Lord would even call forth more men to prepare for the ministry, as you will see that many of our churches are without pastors at this time. Then in back to the music area, we have the church choirs. The man that you see on the screen is Mr. Francis Asaligua. He is working with the churches on the Catali side, and those that you see in the pink are from the Catali side. Those in the brown are from the Lecce side. And we have been working with these people, representatives from the different churches, teaching them the new hymns, and then asking them to go back to their churches and teach the other people these new hymns. I cannot be in 22 churches at one time, and so I need many helpers. So this is just a little clip from our... Here's a picture of Francis and his wife, Abby. We praise the Lord for answered prayer for Francis. He is a baker by trade, but his employer was requiring him to work nights 7 days a week, and which was meaning that it was very difficult for him to get to church on Sunday mornings and to help with the choir practices. And so he had been praying that the Lord would open another avenue for him, and the Lord has done that, and he has his own, this is his oven. And to the right of it is there's a proofing oven for raising the bread. And he now sells his own bread and has been very successful and has many, many customers. And we thank the Lord for this. His wife, Abby, is also one of my piano students. And she has progressed now to where she can begin playing some of the hymns from the hymnal and is a real asset to the work. So we're thankful for that. Then we have our school choirs, primary choirs, secondary choirs. This is our primary choir here getting ready for practice. These are a couple of our young ladies. These are daughters of David Chagi. And this past Christmas, Rael is one of my piano students, and she was able to help play in the church service very simply, but it was a joy for her to do that. And her sister was singing along with her. And then some other of my piano students. And we like to do things in groups in Kenya, and we like to be very, very close. Here in America, we like our space, but not in Kenya. The closer, the better. And then we also have our chime choir. This is about a third of them. And again, we like to be close. And so it's very difficult not to knock the chimes against each other. And the panic on the faces is quite hilarious sometimes. And we have, if you, I have brought some of the DVDs from the concert that we did in the fall. And if you're listening to it, you might notice some of the chimes are off key. But I have been able to replace those. And so when we go back, we'll be able to start up with chimes that are in key again. And then the second avenue for sowing the Word of God is where is the written Word of God. And that's where our Armstrong Evangelical Bookshops come into play. We have two locations currently, a large store in Catali, a smaller store in Makatano. This is our Catali shop looking out onto the street and the other shops in the area. And as you can see, there are many people in our doorway, and our shop is very full of people almost every day. They come in, we have photocopy services that bring people in and also help to pay our rent, which in recent times has doubled. and we sell crafts and cards as well, but our main emphasis is to get the Word of God and good Christian literature into the hands of men and women there in Kenya. Last year, 2,700 Bibles were sold through our bookshops. Pray for our customers. Pray for opportunities to speak to them one-on-one. Many come in with questions looking for certain books or having a question. I've had customers ask about speaking in tongues, and as we seek to just point them to good literature that will direct them to scriptural principles from the Word of God. An item for prayer regarding our bookshops is two possible new locations. One in Kakamega, which is where Jillian is. We are looking for a premise that we can rent. We have tried a book table in the market, and it seemed to go over fairly well, but we would like a permanent location. And then also in the Lodwar area, which is about 5 hours north of us in the desert, the Turkana area, going up north towards Sudan. We have customers that come to us from Lodwar and have asked us if it would be possible to bring a ministry up there. Kenya is working on the road right now. Hopefully it will be finished by the end of this year. Prior to this repair work, we were advised not to travel to Lodwar on your own. Go in convoy, because it's not a safe route. But hopefully when the road repair is finished, it will be much better, and we will be able to take our Land Cruiser up with books and set up a book table there. But do pray that the Lord would give us direction and wisdom regarding this. Going the wrong direction. Okay, pray for our bookshop workers as well. On the left is our Katali workers. On the right is our Makatano husband and wife. And then the third avenue is the taught Word of God. We have a story to tell to the nations. In our academy, we have many opportunities for the Word of God. Every day we have morning and evening devotions. Sunday evening is when I get to speak to the high school students. And then also on Friday mornings, we have PPI classes, which are Bible classes for the elementary, while the teachers are having their meetings with Ms. McAfee. And the missionaries and the pastors take charge of these classes on Friday mornings. Then from time to time, we have the women's meetings, where the women gather for fellowship and to learn the Word of God. And then the Sunday School Prize Days. This was from last year. The first Sunday school that I got to go to was our Kitalali work, which is a new work about a half hour outside of Kitali. Joseph Methu from a bookshop is the man that is preaching there at this time. And the second area that I went to was Parsinda, another new area about a half hour outside of Morchichi or Kachaliba Church. As you'll notice, the church here does not have a building. We prayed that the Lord would hold back the rain that day, and he answered prayer. You will also see at the top of the screen that there is a bicycle. Well, I was told that the Land Cruiser could get me all the way to this church, but when we got so far, we found out that it wasn't possible. And so we had to, and because I thought we would make it, I had carried my table and my easel and my flannel board and my basket, and then I had all of these things to carry. Well, we got to the Sunday school, and we had our meeting, and then on the way home, this gentleman offered to carry my table on his bicycle so far, and then he decided that was far enough. So off it came, and on the right-hand side, you'll see the table is now on the head of the pastor's wife, who carried it the remainder of the way back to the Land Cruiser. And then another opportunity for ministering the Word of God is to the neighborhood children where I live. Every time I come home, I am surrounded by children that run after my car and follow me to my gate. And as I get out to open the gate, can we have a cookie? Can we have a sweet? And I came up with this idea of having them memorize a verse and then giving them the treat. And so from time to time, I will put a verse on my gate and tell the children when to come and recite. And you can see them here lining up, eager to get their cookies. Now, the number sometimes gets quite large, and I've had to have my yard man help me because one day I had 90 children at my gate. And you also notice the mothers in the background, and they say the verse and get their cookies as well. And then just in closing, a few other prayer requests. Even as it seems like illnesses are on the rise here in America, they are likewise there in Kenya, especially cancer. And the man on the left-hand side is from our Kitale Church, Hudson. And it was last year that he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma. And it's been a very difficult thing for him. And even since I have been here, he's been in the hospital a couple of times. And Margaret has said he's lost a lot more weight. If you would just remember this man, that the Lord would comfort him and help him during this trial, and also provide for his family as well. The breadwinner for the family is not able to work now. Sarah, his wife, works for the cereal board, but that is a seasonal job, so it is not a guaranteed income year-round. But do pray for this couple. And also for Patrick, he has a form of leukemia. He goes to Nairobi for his treatments and seems to be doing well with the medicine that he is getting. But there are many others. We have those with AIDS, many with diabetes and high blood pressure, and always the prevalence of malaria from time to time. Then we say thank you for those that have prayed during our election. It has been a joy that it has been a smooth transition, but we still need your prayers. We have a new constitution. We have a new president. Do pray that the Lord would continue to allow there to be peace in that land and that the gospel might freely go forth to the people there. And then another burden upon our hearts is for our youth, that they would remain faithful to Christ and to his word, especially as they go off to the colleges and universities, and that they would have purity and wisdom as they seek marriage partners, and that they would be useful in the work of the Lord in their individual churches. Last month, our Bible college began a ministry training course for youth. And we have a number of young people that have gotten involved in this, and we would ask your prayers for them. Then do remember my co-workers, Margaret Russell, as she oversees the Sunday school work. She gives thanks for the prize days that have taken place. The one at the academy will be this coming Sunday. Margaret is also revising the Sunday school material for the teachers. She's doing the visuals in color now and revising the lesson materials as well. 1 year has been totally completed, and they're working on the other 4 or 5 years left to go. Remember Jillian as she assists the church in Nyaporo. She is also working with literacy classes with the women. Many of our women in our churches have not been to school, and they don't read or write Swahili. But these ladies want to be able to read the Bible for themselves and be able to teach their children, and so she's holding classes down there for the women. She also does many five-day children's clubs, and she is in charge of all of the Sunday school materials for our teens and also the teen camp that is held in December. Noreen McAfee is our head teacher at the Christian Academy, and in addition to all that that involves, she also helps out with the youth work in our churches. And then we praise the Lord for the arrival of Reverend Malcolm Patterson and his wife, Allison. Malcolm has come to lecture in the Bible College and to preach in our churches on the Kitale side. Do pray for them as they are attempting to learn the Swahili language and as they settle in to the work here. In spite of the many difficulties that we have experienced, especially in the last year or two, we give thanks to the Lord for those that have come to Christ and those that we can say, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And we pray, Lord, that that would be seen many times over, even in the years to come. And we have also that promise back to the chapter 43 of Isaiah, where God says, I will work. And who shall let it? And we thank the Lord for the promise that he is working. Not that he will work, but he is working even today. And we thank the Lord for giving us the privilege of being his witnesses. And I just say thank you for your prayers and your support.
Keeping our missionary theme, turn now to number 569. Seminary students will know this hymn, "Lord, grant my yearning heart's desire that I be filled with fervent zeal." Number 569, we'll sing just the first and second stanzas. Men who are going to be singing, you come up as we sing the second. Let's stand together as we sing. Choir.
CDs are available after the service if you'd like one. signed copies. Do thank our sister Kathy for speaking to us tonight and bringing the report on Kenya. There were many matters to pray for there, so do keep those matters before the Lord, and we pray that our sister, as she finishes up her time here and then travels back to Florida beginning of next week and spends some time with her family before heading back to Kenya again in the middle of June, so do keep her before the Lord in prayer. Glad to have our brother Jason with us tonight, Jason Boyle and his wife Danielle. I'm going to ask Jason to come at this time and to speak as well and give a report on the work in Kenya and Mexico.
We want to say that it's nice to be here again in Greenville. Nice to be here for the week of prayer, of course, and to see the men, and also nice to be back here in the church in Greenville and to see all your smiling faces. And we've been encouraged throughout the week, and then also today as we've seen some of you and everybody saying how much you're praying for us, and it's very encouraging. As I'm sure you know, we want to express our thankfulness to you for praying and give you a few things here to pray for as well, and also to encourage your hearts as to what the Lord is doing in Mexico City. The most exciting thing is that we're seeing people saved. We've had three people saved in the last year, another lady saved just a couple of months ago. And just to tell her story just a little bit, she was coming, she was invited by a family in the church, and she came maybe every other week for a month or so, and a little bit inconsistently. And then one day Danielle went out for coffee with her, and this young lady brought her Bible. And she opened it up, and she told Danielle, "I've been reading Romans, I've been reading this book, I've been reading all over my Bible and underlying it and all this, and the Lord had saved her. We had no idea what the Lord was doing in her heart, but the Lord has obviously saved her and changed her, and she said to us that she doesn't like the things she liked before. Her life has changed completely. And the Lord is doing that. We've seen that in other people's lives as well. And to me, that's the most exciting thing, of course, that you can see in any church, and we're very thankful that the Lord is doing that in Mexico City. Because of that, we're going to have a baptism service the first Sunday in June, so just in a couple weeks now, for these three people that were saved in the past year, as well as some other people who have come from other churches and weren't baptized. So we have 9 total people being baptized the first Sunday in June. We're excited about that. The church is excited about that, and it's going to be a big step, obviously, for the church to see that, and I hope it's an encouragement for them, not just what the Lord has done, but I try to emphasize that we're thankful for what the Lord has done, so let's pray for him to do more. Save more people, bring more people into the church. And it's also going to be good because the people who are getting baptized are going to be able to invite their family members to come to the service, Catholics or other unsaved people, and we're going to preach a special evangelistic message for them and pray that the Lord works in hearts through that baptism service. Also, just to tell you about a family that's come in the past year, maybe 8 months or so now they've been coming. We mentioned this in our prayer letter, so some of you may remember. They come from a church. We call it a perfect church. Church that teaches you can lose your salvation, that Christians have to be perfect. You can imagine the bondage that the person's going to live in, thinking that you have to be perfect and not understanding grace, not understanding what the Lord has done, not understanding our position that we have in Christ and the work that he does through us. And they came to us, and of course, in a very bad state and not understanding, and they started coming, and then they started coming to Sunday school. We've been going through providentially the doctrines of grace and learning very specifically, going logically through the truths and going through the passages, and the Lord opened their eyes. The Lord has changed them as well. I really believe they were saved before, but just not understanding, but they have grown by leaps and bounds. You can see in their faces too, they're joyful, they're living in the joy of the Lord, they're understanding what the Lord has done for them, and it's wonderful to see the change that good doctrine has made in their everyday lives. There's 6 of them that come. There's the parents who are in their 60s, son and daughter-in-law, and daughter and son-in-law. The son and daughter-in-law, or the son especially, came to me and told me he was very interested in learning more about the Bible, learning more doctrine, getting more grounded in good theology. As he said, "I've been in this other church for 8 years, and I thought I knew all this stuff, and now I realize that I don't understand what the Bible says, and I want to learn." So he's been coming over to the house after everything is done on Sundays, and we've been going through some basic theology with him, and he loves it, and he's soaking it up, and he always comes to me and he says, "I have about 200 questions today," or "I have 100, I only have 100 questions today." We never go through all of them, but he has tons of questions because he's studying, because he's learning, because the Lord is working in his heart, and it's very exciting to see that in his life, because he has a passion to share the gospel, And I see in him a lot of potential for leadership in the church in the future, of course, but that's why I want to see him grounded in the Word of God and in good doctrine so the Lord can use him in whatever way the Lord chooses in the future. And then recently also we've been blessed by getting visitors off the street. And why that's exciting for us especially is because we're not able to put a sign up for the church. We're renting what is basically a garage of someone's house, and so we can't put up a permanent sign because it's not our building. We're only allowed to put up a sign on the door itself while we're actually in the building for service on Sundays. And one lady came by a few weeks ago, during the service actually, and Danielle went out and talked to her, and she just had seen the sign, had some questions. She came back apparently during the week, well, we weren't there because we're not occupying the building during the week, but thank the Lord she came back, not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, a little bit late, but she heard the message. She stayed afterwards for the food and the time of fellowship, had a good talk with people, and she seemed interested. And she came back last week, and she brought a granddaughter with her, and she seemed very content to be in the church. She's already wanting to help wash the dishes and participate in this way. I don't know if she's saved or not, but the Lord has brought her in, and we pray the Lord will work in her heart to save her or to help her to grow, whatever the case may be. And that's exciting because some other visitors have come in the past from off the street just seeing the sign, but not many have actually come back more than once. And seeing her come back the very next Sunday was very encouraging to us. So those are a lot of blessings. And really, I could keep going for a long time about all the things that the Lord is doing. And I'm going to emphasize that it's his work, obviously. And we're seeing just the power of the Lord in saving people, in changing people, in building his work in Mexico City. We want to stress a few things that you could pray for or continue praying for. One is for consistency in church attendance. And as I've talked to some of the men here this week, I realize very clearly that's not just a mission field problem. That's something that happens in every church, and we long for consistency in the people that come. But in the culture in Mexico, some of these people who came from maybe more charismatic churches or other types of churches, they don't understand the importance of Sunday. They don't understand the importance, or they didn't understand the importance of coming regularly and being under the Word of God and fellowshipping with other people. And so we're trying to bring them along so they understand that, yes, church is more important than the birthday party. And yes, church is more important than whatever other things are happening in their lives. And some people have really caught on with that. Other people are still struggling. And so we ask your prayer that we see a little more consistency in some of the people that are coming on Sundays and as well on Wednesday nights. We've been encouraged because we started prayer meeting back in January. And we averaged 10 or 15 people for the prayer meeting, for which we're very thankful. And again, some consistency there would be nice, though it's more difficult on Wednesday nights because of traffic and because of work. But we're thankful that the Lord is bringing them out and showing them the importance both of the Lord's Day and of the prayer meeting. Of course, we want to see more people saved. We have some people who have come from the very beginning of the church who are not saved, and they sit there every Sunday and they hear the Word of God. And it's, you know, a burden on the pastor's heart, of course, and also a burden on the heart of all the people in the church to see these people come to the Lord. And for us personally, if you could pray for our health, we have been healthy. Many of you have asked about our health, about our safety, and we are safe and we are healthy, and we thank you for that. But if you could, you would continue praying for that because, as I think I mentioned probably when we went out, Mexico City is not a healthy place to live with the pollution and with some problems like that. So your continued prayers for our health would be very appreciated. And of course, we always want to emphasize that we need to grow spiritually as well. Just because we're the missionaries doesn't mean that we have it all figured out. And I try to emphasize that to the people all the time. We're in the same boat. We're all sinners. We're all working through these things together. And so we need your prayer for our spiritual growth, for strength in our marriage, for strength in our personal lives, so that we can better minister to the people there in the congregation, so that we can help them as the Lord has helped us. So it's a very quick overview, but I just wanted to emphasize some of the blessings that the Lord has done so you can be encouraged that the Lord is using your prayers, is using all of our prayers to do his work, and also to give you a few more things to think about and to pray about when you keep us in mind. And again, I do thank this congregation specifically for your prayers, and also to all the men who are here, your respective congregations, if you could bring back our thanks to them, because it's really hard to explain the overwhelming encouragement that we feel when we come here, and practically every pastor I talk to says, you know, we read your prayer letter. The people ask about you. The people are praying for you. And we know that you are, and that's exactly why the Lord is working so much. It has nothing to do with us. It has nothing to do with man's work, but the Lord is doing a work, and he's using you and your prayers, and so we encourage you to keep up with that, and thank you so much for what you've done and for keeping us in your prayers.
We do continue to pray for them in Mexico, that the Lord will bless them and be with them in the days to come. I'm going to go to Dr. Allison at this point. He's going to come and speak, especially on the work in Jamaica and also Liberia. You know the situation in Jamaica. There's no pastor there at this present time, and the work in Liberia with our building project, and some updates on both of those works and what we're trying to do there. I did tell him initially he had 5 minutes. That was not 5 minutes per mission field. It was 5 minutes in total. But we'll relax that a little bit for you, since you have so much to say at this time. 6 minutes.
Well, you've heard two of the fields and the need to pray, and I'm going to give you some prayer requests as well for Jamaica and for Liberia. What I want to stress this evening is where your gifts have gone. We have, over the last year, asked you to give, God's people to give, and we've been overwhelmed with the generosity of God's people on both sides of the ocean. A huge amount of money has come in to try to meet the needs of others. This last spring, Dr. Larry Saunders and Marty Kelly, Marty's from our church in New Hampshire, they both went to Jamaica and were able to look after the welfare of the congregation there, and especially to visit with Mrs. Lorraine Morris. It's been 1 year, almost 1 year, since the tragic murder of her husband. And people have been giving to her needs, and we want you to know that the money is now being distributed to her. $300 is given to her and her family every month. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot here, but in Jamaica, it goes a long way to meeting the needs of her family. Besides giving to her family, there is money given to a university insurance fund that will provide for the future educational needs of her children. We give $55 per month for each child, and we'll do that over the next 8 years. On behalf of Mrs. Morris and her children, let me thank you for your kindnesses to her and your giving to her. Certainly the Lord has undertaken for her in what is a very, very difficult situation. The death of Brian is a constant reminder to all of us that we're fragile. The works are. And what we have seen the Lord do in Jamaica in forwarding that work, even though our brother has gone to be with the Lord, is certainly an answer to prayer. And we would continue to stress the need to pray for those that are especially laboring there. Richard Craig is the one who does most of the preaching and oversight there in Jamaica. He's helped by Andre Lyons in much of the preaching. Randy Gunning is working the bookstore, and at times he also fills in the preaching. So as you pray for Jamaica, especially remember these three men in your prayers, that the Lord would continue to give them grace and sustain and strengthen them. 1 year ago, we gave to the presbytery a plan to build a mission compound, and their response was, go forward. We need to see the Lord provide, and as he provides, we'll try to build that compound. I didn't think, as I told the ministers today, that we would be so far along by this time, 1 year later. We have had over $200,000 that have come in and gone out to the work there in Liberia. Right now, the first house is up. Reverend DeCanio began to live in it. I think it was at the beginning of January. The house still needs some furnishings, a few more air conditioners. There's a kitchen that's being made in Northern Ireland and will be shipped over later. But for the most part, it's livable, and we're going to see a few pictures of the insides of that house. I saw that in the library you have some pictures of the outside of the house. At the present, we're not using a water tower. We had initially said that's what we hope to do, but we're finding a water pump is working just fine. We have a small generator, and from that generator, Dave is able to get electricity to the house. He's using the generator at night. He's also storing electricity in two big batteries, and then during the daytime, he removes the electricity from the batteries and uses it in the house for his lights and other things that need electricity. A 10-foot high fence is almost complete surrounding our property. The plastering of it is almost done as well. And next on the list would be David buying a metal gate and having that installed to the wall. The second house for Joanne Greer is not begun yet. When we saw how long it took for the first house, we knew that we would not have another house up and ready for her to move into by the time her lease was up. And so we had initially in our planning what was needed in Liberia, a security house that would be built for the Liberians that would be working on the grounds and taking care of the gate and that sort of thing. Dave reminded us of that, and he said we could put that up very quickly. And so we gave him permission to do so. The insides of that house would be about the size of a one-bedroom apartment. We are told, if this is all going according to plan, that on the 18th, which is what, Saturday, Joanne hopes to be able to move in. Hopes to. Liberia has a different schedule sometimes than what they plan. But that would be great. That is temporary until her own house is built. But it is right there on the compound. It'll be at the back of the compound. And later, as we said, it'll be used for the security men that are working there. We have also been given just recently a gift to help provide a vehicle for Reverend DeCanio. That is needful. He's been going around on a motorcycle these last few years. That doesn't sound so dangerous here. Let me tell you, it's dangerous in Liberia. There seems to be no rules regulating motorcycles. And they're going every which way. They're coming and going on the wrong side of the streets. And they average at least 1 to 3 motorcycle accidents in the very area where we're at a day. And to get Dave off the motorbike and get him in some kind of a vehicle is certainly needful. And we're thankful for the giving of God's people to that need. It's also needful during the rainy season. If you think riding a motorbike in the rain is bad here, you should see it in Liberia where all the roads are slick and full of mud. Dave DeCanio came home at the end of last year, and he spent most of the time near his family. We were able to get him across to preach for us one service, but he was completely exhausted. He was diagnosed with typhoid, and he was taking treatment for that. He already has malaria, and that keeps popping up from time to time. But he was able to come and rest for 4 weeks. It was a good time to fellowship with him, and then he went back. And we would certainly ask you to continue to remember our brother in your prayers. His many, many duties that he oversees, the work is going forward, much to the single labors of our brother as he oversees what's going on there. Our sister Joanne Greer has completed a year. The Ulster Mission Board was able to bring her home for the Easter Convention, and she spoke at that convention. They were greatly blessed by hearing her report. Souls have been saved in her teachings. The children are being gathered together and instructed in Christ every week. And so we would ask you to remember her in your prayers. She has been bouncing around from place to place. When she went back to Northern Ireland, there was no place for her to come back to as far as her lease that was up. But there is a missionary couple there. Shepherds is their last name. I believe they're Bob Jones graduates. And she'll be with them until she's able to move in to this apartment slash house that we have there for her. But continue to remember both David DeCanio and Joanne Greer as they continue on in their very busy daily ministries. Now we're going to show just a few pictures here that Dave has sent across of the inside of the house, and you can see how it's being finished off. It's not that house. This would be the living room as you're coming into the house. He brought some of these things back with him from America, but that's the inside as you walk in. His spacious bedroom and king-size bed. I think it's king-size. I don't know for sure. Anybody have a closet that neat? I'm sure your books aren't the same in your closet as Dave's, but you can see some great works there along with that. You probably worked on that a good while before taking that picture. This is the inside as you're coming into the house, the entranceway. And I think there's one more picture. Just four. There's another one on my phone I didn't send across. So you see what he's been putting up, working with the Liberians has not been easy. He's constantly telling them, you got to do that over, you got to do that over. But you see the results is that we do have a house that's very nicely done, and that is Dave's house. We hope to start Joanne's house as soon as the funds are available, and we hope to do that very soon. So please continue to remember in prayer Dave and Joanne, and the work that they're doing, as well as the work in Jamaica.
Well, thank Dr. Allison, and not just tonight for speaking, but for all of the work he does throughout the year in constant contact with our missionaries and seeking to help them, and our brother Stair and Arce and the other men who serve on the board. There's a lot that takes place throughout the year, a lot of money that comes in, a lot of money that we're accountable for as it's spent as well, and that'll let you see something of where the money goes to, especially in the appeal for Liberia. And we're very thankful to the Lord, as he mentioned there, we didn't expect to be this far on with the whole program at this point. But we are very thankful to God for answering prayer and bringing in the necessary funds thus far, and we've still the other house to build and some other work that needs to be done too. So do keep that before the Lord, and as the Lord exercises your heart, then continue to support it as much as you can. I'm going to ask Mr. Gallagher to come from Western Canada Churches and present the need of those vacant churches especially, and say something of his own work in Cloverdale too.
I'm glad there's no five-minute rule toward me here tonight, but Beulah and I are glad to be here. It's not too often that Beulah comes with me, but this was an opportunity for her to join me this time. We're always glad of the fellowship and the hospitality that we receive here in Greenville. Well, I have to cover three churches, so I'm going to be very, very quick. I want to put you on the map on British Columbia. You know where Seattle is. Well, Vancouver is just north of that on the border. And if you go exactly halfway up the map in British Columbia, about 500 miles, and halfway across from Alberta to the coast, and you stick a pin, you've got Prince George. It is right in the center of British Columbia. And the north is the growing segment of the Canadian economy, especially if you and your president will allow the XL pipeline, which would allow us to send oil south for you to use to give you cheaper oil. So please vote for that. And we hope that we can continue good relations with you. Prince George, we've had a church there since 1994, and it's never been a large church, but it's been a strong church. And if there ever was a congregation that was Free Presbyterian from A to Z, it certainly was our Free Prince George congregation. And our brother Lee Sterrett served there for 9 years. We had a number of Bible camps for youth in that area because they offered to do a lot of the work. And there was a Bible camp that just suited us so well, and we've had so many great memories and great times of fellowship and ministry there associated with the Heritage Church. Last June, a large cloud of discouragement gathered, and the result was that due to the departure of a number of people, it became impossible for the Barnes family to continue their ministry in Prince George. They were American citizens. Mr. Barnes was there on a clergy passport or visa, and he nor his wife could support or attempt to take on work within Canada. And so they returned to Indianapolis, and we have to thank the Reverend Bannister and the congregation there for receiving them back with warmth and encouraging their hearts after some of the discouragements that they went through in Prince George. Now the challenge is to keep the life of the church going. And really, the ultimate answer is God calling a man who will have the perseverance, the stickability, and God's call in his own heart to go and preach to really is a work that is going to take a lot of energy. So please pray that it may please the Lord to keep that congregation going and provide that minister. Distance is one of our great difficulties. It's very difficult to fill pulpits at such a distance, and at present the majority of their services are by webcast. But we have preachers going, and this summer we have a young man, a very young man, Aaron Fitzsimons, Paul and Pamela Fitzsimons' son. He is applying to the Whitfield College of the Bible in Ulster, and he's going to be free over the summer, and he's going to Prince George for a couple of months. And with his help, and hopefully with others that we can encourage to go at least for some time, we hope to do some extensive outreach and trust the Lord to give us additional people there in that congregation. Now, over the mountain to Calgary in Alberta. Well, that's the energy city of Calgary. And anyone that looks for excitement, potential, and a great life of ministry, Calgary's the place. And you must go. And I trust that the Lord will send a man sooner than later to Calgary. The congregation there is about 30 strong when they're all out. That includes those that are in their 90s. We have some who have just celebrated their 65th wedding anniversary. And the bride got up in the morning and looked at her husband and said, "There is my groom." And so we're thankful for people who are full of vigor and people who persevere. They are out at the services most of the time, even through the difficult driving conditions of winter. We're glad that Roger's here. He's from Calgary, and I'm sure if there's any inside information you need on the church, just talk to Roger. We're thankful that he's going back for the summer. His employer is taking him back, believe it or not. He must have done some work when he was there, so they're taking him back for a couple of months, and he's going to be helping and doing some of the preaching. Reverend Kimbrough is going to go up for a couple of weeks, and various others. And in September, please pray for the congregation, because Dr. and Mrs. Kearns are there for the whole month, and the congregation will need your prayers. And pray for us as well, because they're coming our way afterwards, and to Victoria. So we're looking forward to the fellowship of that. Our own church in Cloverdale, well, I think you know the deep loss that we suffered just on Christmas Eve at the death of Mr. Doug Routley. He was our deacon, one of our two deacons, and our treasurer. And it was a dark, dark time for us, and we really appreciate the Reverend Wagner and Dr. McClellan coming out and joining with us and ministering the word at the funeral and then the following Sunday. The Routley family are, well, they're doing relatively well. It's not easy. You know those firsts that come after bereavement, birthdays and those events. And if you had known the Routley family, every birthday was a big event. And so these are difficult days for the family. In the memory of Doug Routley, they have established a scholarship fund to the Geneva Reformed Seminary. In that fund at present, there is $29,000 plus. And that will be under the management of the seminary, seminary committee. And perhaps, as we hope to make this known, that others will consider contributing to this. This is to assist students that need some financial help to get them through the long years of Geneva Reformed Seminary. 2013 has been a good year for us so far. In the ministry, you always put in the little qualifier, so far. You never know. But we have been encouraged. There has been certainly a little reviving in our midst. One family, I'd like just to give you just a small snapshot of one family that has encouraged my heart greatly. We have a family, they're known as the King family, and they started coming to our church. Well, it was the grandparents came first, and the grandparents, they went and picked up the grandkids and brought them along to Sunday school. And after the Sunday school, either the grandparents took them home or mum and dad came and picked them up. So it was just the kids coming to the Sunday school. And then gradually the parents would stay for the Sunday school hour and join in the Sunday school class, one or the other of the parents. And then both of them would come and sit in the Sunday school hour. And then, somewhere around the turn of the year, we noticed that they were not only coming to the Sunday school, but they were coming to the church service as well. And this has been a wonderful progression to see them coming from really strangers to our church through the children, through the faithful prayers and efforts of grandparents, to see them come to the church. They now have participated at communion, and that gives me an opportunity to talk to them one-to-one, and they're now talking about baptism and just those signs of drinking in the Word. So that's just one little encouragement, one family. And you know, when you've gone through dry spells of barrenness, those encouragements are huge, and they're blessings. And we give the Lord the praise and the thanks. We do thank you for your prayer support over these many years and ask you to pray on. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. Thank you.
Thank Mr. Gallagher for reporting for us. What he doesn't know, this is a live webcast tonight, and Dr. Cairntart is listening. I'm only kidding. I don't think he is. But we do appreciate him coming, and we're thankful for the encouragement reports there of the work in Cloverdale. Do keep that before the Lord in prayer. Brother Aaron Dunlop's going to bring the reports to a close tonight. He is looking after the outreach in Victoria, and we're thankful for that. He and I are very close friends. We Skype every Saturday for time of prayer at night, and we Skype sometimes during the week as well. He has a great ability. Every time I Skype him, his wife brings him coffee. So any of you men who can't figure out how to do that at home, he's holding classes after the prayer meeting tonight, and he will give you advice as to how to work that every time. But he's going to come and speak on the outreach, what's planned there, and what he has organized for the young people that go up to Victoria.
It's great to be back in Greenville. All I can say to that comment is, obviously, I have a wife that loves me. Sorry, Helen.
I know my wife.
There are times when his wife brings him coffee and biscuits. Good to be back in Greenville, having that done. I get a complex every time I come to Greenville, because when we were here 10 years ago, or 9 years ago now, we came. My wife made a lot of friends. And so every time I come back, people are asking about my wife and not me. So I can tell you that my wife's doing very well. The kids are doing well. And I would ask you to keep them in prayer. My wife's expecting at the end of July. And we have 2 kids with diabetes, with type 1 diabetes. So I'd ask you to keep Grace in your prayers, that the Lord will sustain her and strengthen her. It's a burden she carries continually, every night, 2 or 3 times a night. She's up checking them. And when I do it, she's up anyway, because she doesn't trust me to do it. But it is a burden on her, and I would ask you to keep that in your prayers for Grace. I've been asked to give a report on the outreach. And Mr. Mercer could tell you more of who's coming, because all of those who are coming are from Greenville. We have 3 young ladies coming and 1 young man, as far as the numbers that I have are concerned. I'm encouraged that there are people coming. I'm encouraged that there are young ladies coming. When I come to meetings like this and watch reports of our sister in Kenya, and hear reports of Liberia and Jamaica and Mexico, I'm reminded of my young days, not very far away, of course, just a couple of years ago, but in my teenage years, sitting in missionary meetings and the Word of God working in my heart, and the desire to work and to serve the Lord continually. Any missionary meeting or any meeting I went to, and the Lord, from my early teens, was working in my heart. And so I know the Lord speaks to young people. So I'm encouraged tonight that there are a number of young people here. And I know the Lord speaks to young people. And I trust he speaks to you. And that you, as you sit in meetings like this, are feeling that draw and the conscience that the Lord works in your heart to serve him. Not to give your life for the world, but to give your life for the Lord. And even sitting here tonight, any mission report I hear, I just want to jump on a plane and go and get involved. I see Dave DeCanio mixing concrete and building blocks and building walls, and I want to go and get in there and join them. That desire to get out into the work. It's interesting that when you read the book of Acts, and in particular that call that we call the Macedonian call, it's very significant. I believe that that call was given for men. It's a call that Paul heard, but it was given for men. If you go to the history, the historical context of that in Acts chapter 16 and 17, you'll discover that when Paul goes to the church at Philippi, it's women at the riverside. The conversions that he has, for the most part, in Philippi are women. You go into chapter 17, and chapter 17 speaks of those who were added to the church, and honourable women, not a few. Twice it says that in chapter 17. And so when Paul went to Philippi, this is the crux, when Paul went to Philippi, he found a church there where two or three are gathered together in my name. There am I in the midst. He had a church, but it wasn't structured. He needed men to add the structure to the foundation of the church. That's what we need. And that's what we need in our outreach. That's what we need in our missionary endeavors. And that's what I seek to encourage our young people when they come to Victoria. I meant to be reporting, not preaching. I'm sorry. I get excited when I get behind a pulpit. So I'm encouraging young people to come. It's not too late to sign up. You can see the Reverend Mercer and a few friends who have a desire to study and to outreach for the Lord into different communities. Come. When you come in July the 1st, it will be the peak season of Canadian holiday in Victoria. Victoria is the capital of British Columbia. If you go to Seattle and you pinpoint Vancouver on the map, as Reverend Gallagher has told us, you go halfway up and out a little bit, and you're onto an island, the island of Vancouver. And the island of Vancouver is the part that America didn't get. Because if you follow the 49th parallel, it goes up and comes down round the bottom of Vancouver Island that the Americans lost. And so we live on the bottom of that island. It's the most beautiful part of Canada, I believe. It's a tourist attraction. Cruise ships are coming in. Holidaymakers are coming and going. And so when the young people come in July, we'll be downtown doing outreach. We can't do track distribution. We're not allowed to do that because of the trashing of the street. So I have, a couple of years ago, I designed a questionnaire. Just go down with a questionnaire, and we're not checking any or collecting any data. We are simply looking for opportunity to get to talk to people. And so the questionnaire gives us that opportunity, that window to open up to the gospel. We'll be doing that. We'll be doing some door-to-door work. And we will be doing also some workshops. I want the young people, when they leave, I don't want them coming just to tramp the doors and put leaflets through doors and go home with nothing. I want to do some workshops, some training in personal evangelism and in missionary work, and I trust that the young people, when they come, that they'll leave with a greater desire to serve the Lord, with a greater insight into the Word, and with a greater vision for the Word. And so pray for the young people. Pray that others might catch the vision and that there might be a great reaping from the work of the young people in the summer. The work in Victoria, the Lord has blessed us. We have a congregation of a Sunday morning of 40 to 50 people, and the Lord has blessed us with good people. Numbers are down in the evening, of course, which is par for the course across North America, across the world, I think. So pray that the Lord will give our people an initiative in the Lord's, on the Lord's Day. Brother, I think it was Jason, was speaking of keeping the Lord's Day and doing stuff on the Lord's Day and focusing on the church. Pray for the work in Victoria, that the Lord will bless us, that the Lord will establish us, that the Lord will make us make a name for himself there in Victoria, and that the Lord will bless the young people as they come in the summer. Thank you.
I thank our brother to remember that work, that outreach week that the Lord will undertake for the young people as they travel. Keep his hand upon them, give them good success and good favour with the people as they seek to bring the word to them. We're going to close by singing hymn number 579. I do appreciate you coming tonight. This has been a very busy week for the ministers and elders who are here, and the families too. We appreciate you coming tonight. We want to try and keep the time if we can. We've managed to do that. So we're going to sing this hymn. In closing, we'll sing all of the stanzas and then we'll have a word of prayer.
A commitment to give the best of my heart, the fullness of my mind, in service to the Lord. Let's stand together as we sing 579.
Gracious God and our Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy presence with us tonight. Lord, we thank thee for all of these various areas where we have missionaries serving and where thy people have gone forth to speak well of Christ. We ask, Lord, for thy blessing to be upon them. And as they are far from home and far from what is familiar to them, Lord, thou wilt undertake for them. And Lord, thou thyself will draw near. We think of those words in the Gospel of Luke when Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And we ask, Lord, thou will go with thy servants. And Lord, bless them, strengthen them, fill them with the joy of the Lord. We pray as Paul and Barnabas went forth in the fullness of the Holy Ghost, full of joy and full of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that might be the case with thy servants who are even with us here tonight. Lord, we do pray for those who are in particular need and have had particular trials in recent days in our presbytery. We pray for our brother Mooney and his family. Yes. Lord, we thank thee for thy grace to them. We thank thee for the home calling of his mother. Lord, we think of the great joy that she has going in to see the King in all his glory, in all his beauty. But Lord, bind up the brokenhearted. Give grace and strength and mercy and blessing even in these days, we pray. We pray for our brother Lee as well. Lord, we thank thee for thy hand upon him. And we pray thou wilt continue to bless him and make him a blessing among his own congregation. We pray for our brother Spears here, that, Lord, thou wilt bless him also We thank thee for thy hand upon him. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt undertake for him in the days to come and restore unto him fullness of health and strength again, if it please thee. And Lord, make him a blessing amongst us, even in this congregation. We pray for our brother Bannister, Lord, keep him in health and in strength too. And Lord, others who need thee, that thou wilt draw near in these days, and Lord, bless them, be with them. We do pray for our brethren from Ulster too, that Lord, you'll bless them and bless their families back home at this time without them, that Lord, thou wilt undertake for them too. Remember us tomorrow, Friday, as we meet for prayer and our time around thy word again. Lord, we pray that thou wilt feed us with the very finest of the wheat. May we leave this house knowing that we have met afresh with thee. Bless in our business meetings too. Lord, we do cry for wisdom and strength and understanding in all the matters that come before us. May we be wise stewards of what the Lord has given into our care. Lord, part us with thy blessing. Bless this congregation. We do thank thee for it. Bless thy people. We gather here week by week, we pray. Part us now with thy blessing and thy fear and with thy favor. For we ask these things in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.